Welcome to the Maria Heller Show. On the net since 2000 and still going strong. If you feel like you're not getting the real news, if you feel like you're not connected spiritually, you have found your home. Maria covers a wide range of topics as only a snarky New Yorker can. Straight up, no chaser. No censorship, no corporate sponsors, thus true freedom of speech. Your subscription gives you unlimited access as a member of the smartest audience on earth. Relax and enjoy the education. Now here's Maria.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Hell and High Water. And man, if we're not living through hell and high water, I don't know what is. With my guest, my friend, my son, my co-host, Chuck Ocelli. If you're not familiar with Chuck and his work, get over to ocelli.com. I have a live link right here. One of the very rare sites and shows that I can recommend in this day and age. Good morning, Chuck.
I'm not so sure. I appreciate your sentiment, and I know you have pleasant wishes for me, as I have for you, and as I have for everybody listening to us, but facts are facts, and the world is what it is. You know, it's fascinating to me. I'm not going to go see this Joker movie, first of all, because I can't afford to, but secondly, I've already seen Taxi Driver, right? I've already seen what the Joker character can do. I've already seen that the joke is actually on you. I've already seen, I don't mean you, Mom, of course. I've already seen a lot of this, and I don't have time for reruns. So I got to say, I'm not looking forward to it. And that's it. I got to also confess at this point in time, I'm not looking forward to tomorrow as I speak to you. Every day seems to be another slip down that slope, where we're not going anywhere except down. And I hate to open up a show this way with you, but I feel the need to say it. And, you know, we talked before we went there. And, you know, as always, we were frank and honest, and we shared things that, you know, maybe the rest of the world doesn't need to hear. But we also spoke about a lot of things that I think the world does need to hear at this point in time. And it goes well beyond the nonsense that they're ramming down our throats while they're confusing us about what it is that's actually happening in that pivotal part of the world and what's going to happen with the war and what do we need it for anyway. So where do we go from here, Mom?
We go straight to hell. No. Listen, if you think about it and you talk about religions, okay, let's start with religions. For centuries, what have people been praying for? They have been praying for God's kingdom to come to earth, okay?
Oh, right, thy kingdom come in that prayer, yeah.
Right, well, you've been praying for God's kingdom to come to earth, but if anybody ever actually read the Bible, they would realize that it's a vicious, violent God that destroys everything in its path. All children, all women, all cities. And this is what people have been praying for. They've been praying to the God of the Bible, Jehovah, who's as equal to Lucifer. And now it looks like the shit's about to hit the fan. Hell and high water, you know, high radioactive water. I woke up this morning and I see that, obstruction of justice is continuing as, Trump is barring Gordon Sondland, who's the key player in the Ukraine controversy. He's the guy with all the text messages. And they barred him from testifying. So my first post this morning on social media was, you know, good morning, wake up and smell the obstruction. What's interesting is one of the people, one of the authors that I respect, was posting on the side of Trump and his decision to pull our troops out of Turkey. I don't know. I'm so lost with this whole story.
Well, it's Syria. Let's freeze
Syria.
Frame right there.
Okay.
Let's freeze frame right there in your thought process, and I'll tell you why. Generally speaking, you and I and anybody who cares about what is happening on the planet might say that it's a good thing for the American Empire to withdraw its troops from a foreign land at any time. Because we are in too many places. I say we, of course, I don't, you know what I mean.
Right.
Anyway, I say we're in too many places. The American flag is being hoisted and foisted on its own petard in way too many places. Way too many conflicts, way too much murder, way too much destruction, and way too much ugly that it's probably going to take another generation for you to really know about the atrocities committed. So any of us would love to see the war-for-profit system stop profiting and stop warring.
Absolutely, but this person was claiming that Trump has done this in the name of peace. What's wrong with peace?
Yeah.
That flipped me out so much that my comment was, the last time I heard anyone use the word peace was Dennis Kucinich when he tried to do a Department of Peace. It didn't fly and they got rid of him. Mm-hmm. So when I look at what are supposedly intelligent people whose work I respect, who actually thinks this is a move for peace, it flabbergasted me. Okay, I am a child of the 60s. Give peace a chance. Okay, power to the people. There has been no one talking about peace, not a president talking about peace that I can remember after Kennedy.
Okay. See, there's the key, right? Because here's a funny little thing that everybody always misses in that, and I'm not going to discuss the theories and whatever, but you know I'm schooled on this subject.
Right.
Well schooled. I've lectured on this subject. I've given presentations. I've assisted other people. I know this subject. Here's something that nobody knows how to contend with at all. The President of the United States, in the weeks leading up to his death, the final nail in his coffin, regardless of, you know, the rest of the conspirators hovering around him like vultures. Here's the thing. You had a president who was talking about peace constantly. And I don't just mean in a, you know, listen, I'd love to see peace on the planet, generalized, you know, superficial nonsense. Here's my sentimentality. Of course we love peace while we're going to war, you know, very much in the Orwellian fashion, right? No, this man was talking about what I want to do is abolish war.
Right.
What I want to do is abolish the weapons. What I want to do is stop this need for conflict and look for cooperation. We're all here on the same planet. We know the sentiments.
Right, we're all breathing the same air.
You know what they play you on the news channels and the history channels. But hold on. The thing is, they don't play you the whole of the rest of the speeches that were going on at that time where he was seriously, absolutely from his position of power, no matter what you think of him, was speaking about there is another way outside of conflict. There's another way. That is the last president you had who did that.
Absolutely.
Although, you know, there was another president who we don't really know what we would have done exactly because he was hampered, hindered, and absolutely, you know, oh, what do you want, kneecapped, or you want to say that his Achilles heel was severed as he was walking into the office, whatever. Carter, who's an interesting guy, and I want to quote something from President Carter today, and I'm going to do this on my show later. Interesting thing when they asked him, does he have any advice for President Trump? And, you know, Carter, without skipping a beat, despite his black eye, despite his age, despite fighting cancer, despite his problems with his wife, you know, fighting for her life, while he's out there building habitats for humanity.
Right.
Said very simply, tell the truth for a change. That's a quote.
All right.
Well, truth is gone. The discussion of peace is gone. And what are we left with? Well, they threw you a bone, maybe, because they withdrew some troops from one place.
Well, 100,
those troops 150, are going to be repurposed somewhere else.
Well, 150. I mean, that's the one he's worried about. Not how many, you know, what do we have, over 600 bases in foreign countries? We're still hanging on in Korea. I mean, once the United States arrives, they never leave. And that is our number one export. But people were like, oh, what are you, pro this war? Because, you know, the comments continued. And I was like, I'm not for any war. We've been lied into war since World War I.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't see any comeback. And that's why the last thing I put is, you know, if anybody thinks that I'm uninformed, it's because you don't know what I've covered on my show for 20 years.
Oh, yeah. I know. People, you know, even when I've hinted at, simply because you're seeing a withdrawal does not necessarily mean you're seeing a march toward peace.
Right.
You know, people say, well, what's the matter with you? Are you all for continuing on with the war state? And it's like, you know, you obviously haven't been listening. I don't have as many archives as you. But you haven't been listening for the past 5 years.
Right.
where I have made it a point to explain exactly how dangerous, exactly how toxic this paradigm of the war state is. And, you know, you fail to recognize that, you know, simply because the establishment threw you what appears to be a bone doesn't mean that that's anything more than sawdust mixed with coloring.
Right. Okay? To call it his effort at peace, peace. The only thing he's worried about is the Trump Towers in Turkey, which is another reason why, you know, he ducks the emoluments clause. Another reason why he blocks his tax returns. I mean, on and on. The list goes on and on. And now to see, I don't know, I think it's Jim Baker, the demon of the evangelicals, who said that Trump's going to lose his mandate from heaven if he did that. Okay, so you got to laugh when you see some of the shit. And I'm looking at this and I'm like, you know what? I remember the name of... what's his name? Greg Palast's book, Armed Madhouse.
Right.
And you know what? That name applies to the entire planet.
Yeah.
So when I, you know, when I woke up this morning, besides having a song stuck in my head, what I got, you know, intuitively, and people have to realize, I mean, for people that are new to my show, I wasn't born into radio, never wanted to do radio, never had a conscious decision to do radio. But here I am, okay? It was just the way my life's path wound up. But before I did radio, I taught for decades the philosophy, Native American spirituality, and the philosophy of the medicine wheel. And I was an avid environmentalist. So when I look at the climate change deniers, it's like, okay, I've been an environmentalist my whole life. Everything I knew would happen 30 years ago if we didn't put the brakes on it is happening. On a spiritual level, I've always taught about America that a country created by genocide can only end the same way. And when I woke up this morning and I looked at the news and I said, this is America's karma. So I know that might be heavy duty for the first thing in the morning, but I was like, okay, I guess these are the thoughts that are happening in my head. I am disgusted covering the news. I do it because I must and because I'm good at it. No one else is going to be stupid enough to do this for 20 years. It's not like I'm getting rich and famous off it. It's not like there's any rewards here for what I do. But as I've explained on earlier shows, especially spiritual shows, we are here building our next house. And I can tell you this, when I leave here, the stories that I have covered will resonate throughout many universes as a warning to never repeat what humans have done to this planet anywhere else. How's that for an opening statement?
Well, you know, an interesting opening statement. I'm going to disclose something here, which I disclosed to you privately.
Okay.
You know, that is a thought I've always filed in the crazy file cabinet in my head that I've had since I was a kid. And I got to tell you, it hasn't gone away. It's only resonated more. And it's one of those things that, you know, you can't say in mixed company, they used to call it, right? Mixed company, whatever that means. I don't know what mixed company is exactly. But
I don't either.
Can't say in polite conversation either. I think I failed to understand what polite conversation is exactly as well. But either way, it's one of those things that you don't want to utter out loud.
Well,
quite frankly, it's the truth.
Listen, I have some spiritual visions and knowledge that I've had since I was 4 years old that I've never shared with the world because I don't think the world can handle it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I know we're getting close to the day where I have to expose what I've always known. You know, I don't know if you're even aware of it, but when I was 4 years old, I got hit by a truck and basically died. My mother couldn't tell me how long I was out, how long I was in the hospital, none of that. And we're looking at 1955, okay. 1955, nobody knew about near-death experiences, walk-ins, any of that stuff. But one thing that they did know is when I woke up I wasn't the same person I was when I went down. And my older sister said, who is this person? Where's my sweet little sister, Maria? But what was interesting is whatever time I was down and out for, when I came back, remember, Chuck, it's 1955. I'm living in a total Italian Catholic neighborhood. And I come to with all the knowledge of parallel universes, time not existing, all time existing at the same time. The kind of things nobody even started writing about till the 1980s. And as a child, you speak your truth. And I just spoke what I knew. And listen, I got a lot of slaps and a lot of hair pullings. But I've always spoken from what I know. You know, there's a difference between what you think and what you know. And one thing that I do know is that humans are the most dangerous animals on this planet. And the planet is getting ready to get rid of us. It's that simple. You can look at it from an environmental position. You can look at it politically because our government has no problem killing us, okay? They don't even need to wait for a foreign country to come in and kill us. I'm reading, I don't know if you're reading it yet, Donald Jeffrey's latest book.
Yes.
And he has so many examples of our government attacking its own people, whether they were releasing viruses, whether they're testing drugs on people in the service, in the army, wiping out a whole black city in Philadelphia, the HIV they released in New York subway. So people think that this can't happen in America. Well, it happens. It happens all the time. And then they pulled off the big Lollapalooza on 9/11. Okay. And this is the world they wanted when they pulled off 9/11. And, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, starting with Reagan, we never would have ended up with a Trump in office. And the ignorance of the people out there, ignorance is a choice, just like everything else. When people tell me, you know, I'm a good person, I'm not doing anything wrong, but I say, yeah, but that's a choice. You're not doing anything right either. And we pay for our choices. On a spiritual soul level, we pay for our choices.
No, you're absolutely right. Now, here's an interesting thing about what you just said, and I'm not trying to contradict you. I want to add to it.
Go ahead.
And it may sound like I'm contradicting you, but here's the thing. 9/11 was the excuse for some, but the truth is this embrace of death is much more profound than that day. You know, that's only 3,000 people. Now, listen to how brash that sounds, right?
Right.
On a daily basis, there are mechanisms in place that are allowing the wanton destruction of many, many more lives than 3,000 on a daily basis in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a week, you'll see a lot more people dying from all sorts of things that are being engineered and allowed to happen. Whether it's, you know, how many people are overdosing daily on the opioid crisis, you know, that whole thing that they've now finally adopted and started to pay attention to, even though it was there for 20 years, actually, killing people exactly like it is today.
Mm-hmm.
How many people died from that? How many people are dying from all the other, you know, corporate gains?
How many people are dying from pollution? Whether it's air pollution,
sure.
Water pollution. Now they find that all that they're saying, it's the foam chemicals from the firefighters fighting the fires in California that's in California's water now. But who knows what's really in California's water right now?
Well, who knows what's in anybody's water?
Right.
Every time we go to test any of this stuff, the infrastructure is either suffering catastrophic failures now for some odd reason, or it has been engineered to all simultaneously come together. Flint is still in trouble, but all across the country, every time I hear about somebody testing their water, have you heard about the good results, how wonderful the water is?
No.
Anywhere?
No. No, of course not. I mean, I'm happy to say that at least the town I live in doesn't add fluoride to the water. Doesn't mean I'm not triple filtering that water before I use it. Doesn't mean I don't have filters on my shower head. And we can only do the best we can living in a polluted world. You know, years ago, I told people what I knew was coming. If you cannot mutate, you won't be able to stay alive.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. But here's a funny part about this water situation too. It's not just the pipes. It's not just the filtration. It's not just the fluoride. It's not just the chlorine. Because the runoff from all the things that have been allowed to happen, the things that have seeped into the water table that are now, there's no way to mitigate any of that. There's no way to mitigate a whole bunch of invisible things to the naked human eye.
Right.
That are absolutely killing everybody.
Well, this morning I saw a post about the waters in Siberia, believe it or not, where it's actually boiling. It's boiling up methane. Okay. The ocean, I have reported this a long time ago, the ocean is full. It can't handle any more methane, so it's burping that back out. Meanwhile, they just, you know, Fukushima's going to dump the rest, you know, a million tons of their radioactive waste into the Pacific. When you look at all of this, fracking, Trump's allowing the frackers now to dump their waste in our rivers and streams. Okay. You know, I forget which Native American it was. Maybe it was even an ad on TV, but it's a sentence that's really true. When you have no air to breathe, no food to drink, no soil to plant, what are you going to do with your money? Mm. And people have no respect for the earth. It was proven years ago that the earth is a living organism. They gave her a name, Gaia. Okay. Every time, according to Native legend, every time man drills into the earth, she releases another disease to protect herself. Some scientists are now saying that even if we started planting trees like crazy now, it's too late. All right, you got people out doing this extinction protest throughout the world that are disrupting traffic, whatnot. Millions of people that are aware of what's going on. And listen, this is the time. It's do or die for the human race.
Yeah, not exactly a good time to have, what do we have? The rising Elizabeth Warren versus the idiot king. And you used to call W the idiot king. It's a funny thing. Because the leadership that is going to more toxify things than I think people can possibly imagine.
Absolutely. Look what's right going now. On. You're destroying. I was under the impression, I've been in Arizona 30 years. And when I watched them destroy the desert, it was my understanding that we have the certain cactus from the saguaro to the barrel cactus that are endangered species, so they're supposedly protected. Mm-hmm. Well, they're now being mowed down for for Trump's border wall, okay? The most sacred plants, the only place really in the world where you can see the saguaro, which is a magnificent tree. And when I first saw that destruction in the desert and knew that they were supposedly endangered, God, this is about 25 years ago, I went out and took pictures and I got in touch with the EPA. And I said, this is what they're doing. They're taking down these healthy cactus because they want to build a house or whatever. They gave me the bullshit that the builder said, oh, those cactus are sick. So I went back to take pictures of the cactus on the trucks, showing they were perfectly healthy, because saguaro gets a very strange disease where it leaks black ooze. These were healthy saguaros. And then they told me, you can keep your eye out. We only have one person that was in charge of something like 25,000 acres. And I was like, yeah, I don't work for you. I threatened to tie myself to the trees. I was a crazy person, but I told you I was an environmentalist. I wasn't doing radio. I don't give a shit about politics. The only thing I gave a shit about was the living planet, okay? The trees, the birds. Arizona has so much life in the desert. People think it's the Sahara. It's not. Mm. And then you just see that everybody, even on the committees I would join, they were only in it to use that committee to propel themselves into politics or for selfish reasons.
Yeah, to further their aspirations, of course.
Right. So when you look at that, you got to say, my teacher Sun Bear said it all the time, and I agree, the two-legged is the most dangerous animal on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
So you either have no life. It's that simple.
Yeah, no, I can't object to that that sentiment. It is quite obvious. What's fascinating is, though, that people will continuously ignore the communication which is coming from the planet, which is a living thing. I dare say that people don't necessarily understand that. You know, your listeners do, I think. They would have to.
Absolutely. They have the smartest audience on Earth.
You know, so we've got, you know, we're preaching to the choir about this.
Yeah, but you know what? Sometimes everybody needs to be reminded. So everybody listening to the show, you're getting a lot of facts and figures. Share that with other people. If they're interested and they actually have a soul, then you can tell them, well, go and support the work. Join the family, because my show is for my soul group. It's limited. I'm not here for everybody, because the majority of people on this planet are not going to survive. I've known that since I was 4. And I've lived a long time since then. And all I see is confirmation on what I saw when I was 4.
It's an interesting thing, because at the age of 4, you know, is exactly when my life changed too. I seem to keep hearing that after you're, you know, arrived here for about 4 years, this is when things change all of a sudden. For a lot of people, if they're honest about it.
Changed for me. I got pounded into the pavement. So, yeah, it changed for me. It wasn't my choice, but boom, down I went. But, you know, listen, people tell me, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. I said, listen, humans are the only people. Well, I don't care, climate change, earth changes, whatever people want to call it. The bottom line is we have polluted our own web of life, our own support system, from the air, the food, the water, the soil, you name it. So whatever you want to call that, that's what's going to cause the extinction of human beings. We don't have to wait on the sun frying us, or a solar dimming, or the next ice age. We have polluted what we as physical human beings need to live. And it seems like it's just on hyperspeed now, you know. Yeah, I was talking to my granddaughter last week, and I don't know what we were talking about, air pollution, sky pollution, because, you know, they spray chemtrails here like tic-tac-toe games. And I said to her, do you know what the number one polluter is of our air? And she didn't know. And she was surprised to find out that it's airplanes. Okay. So, you know, these are things that I knew, you know, 40 years ago. I was talking about it 40 years ago. It wasn't that I was saying, don't fly airplanes. Okay, but there are better, cleaner ways to do things than the way we do it. We've used the ocean as a toilet for centuries, and now the ocean is coming back at us with its revenge. We should be ashamed at what we've done to this planet.
I have no argument or anything to add to that. I got to be honest with you, because it just is as it is.
Right.
The fact that there are so many people, though, that... And yes, you're right. We are preaching to the choir, but the choir needs to go spread the word a little more, because there may indeed be a few people that could receive the messages that simply have not yet. That this is a serious time where, I got to be honest with you, I've always scoffed at the concepts of, you know, hey, is the next world war coming? Is the next, you know, die-off coming for... massive extinctions. Is this all coming? I hate to do the doom and gloom thing, but after a while, I can't ignore.
We're already in the middle of the sixth mass extinction. It's not something coming in the future. It's here. We're living through it. You know, we assume the next wars will be fought for water. Make no mistake about it. A lot of countries running out of water. One of the biggest cities in India ran out of water a couple of months ago. And I remember when I was doing terrestrial radio, Israel put a full-page ad in Newsweek begging for water because they were out of water. So when you look around, you know, you can store all the gold coins you want, all the silver you want, all the ammo you want. But when you turn on that tap and nothing comes out, it's game time. You know, everybody thinks, oh, yeah, I'm gonna go buy me some Bitcoin. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Well, what are you going to do with that? Okay. When push comes to shove and you're, you know, facing a Mad Max reality, what are you going to do with that? Can you eat it? Can you drink it? You know, and I got to tell you, I feel sorry for the next generation. Now, at the same time, when I look at these young people all around the world, especially with the protests going on now and that little girl Greta Thunberg, which people want to demonize, and maybe she is supported by some people other people don't like. But to threaten a 16-year-old kid with a learning disability because she knows what she's talking about environmentally with rape or murder is crazy. And it, this generation, you know, they don't cover it on the news here, Chuck. There are millions of kids like her protesting in by the millions in other countries. Mm. They are our last hope as a species. Make no mistake about it. If they can't fix this or get their, you know, get it together, then it's game time. You know, another failed experiment, like the United States is a failed experiment.
Well, see, that's the reason why I was talking about the message being spread, because regardless of what happens to you and me in the next few years, it's irrelevant, because we have actually planted enough of the ideas, enough of the knowledge, enough of the wisdom for this younger generation to pick up.
And they're smart.
We've actually done that.
Right. And they're smart, but the media wants us to constantly denigrate them, denigrate, put down the millennials, put down these young kids. Well, take a look at the adults. Look at my peers, okay? What has my peers, my generation done? You know, look at Trump, look at Bush. These are people in my generation, okay? You know, somebody's got to pay the price. It's a sad thing that it's going to be our children that have to pay that price.
Well, and the other thing to be said here is that each generation has been limited intentionally, and the engineering is remarkable. I mean, you've got to give credit where credit's due. The generation, my generation, which should be coming to power now, which should be stepping into, you know, the highest of responsibilities, we should be the great innovators. You notice that my generation has nothing to do with anything that's happening on this planet. You know, the X generation. Who is in leadership that's in their 40s and 50s, really?
Nobody that I know. Nobody. Well, I nobody. You know, the few people that are, you know, the few people in Congress are these new young women and men. You know, they're way younger than that. You know, they're in their 20s.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing. Is the generation after me
right,
and the generation before me are actually coming to power. My generation, not there. We're absent.
Hmm.
Isn't that fascinating?
Well, you're there. You're doing your show every day, regardless of the cost to yourself. You do it every day, just like I do. So, you know, you can't say everybody, because when people blame my generation for everything, I say, we didn't all sell out. I'm still here. You know, there aren't that many, but I'm still here.
Well, no, but I'm saying in general.
Right. No, I agree. It's odd. That's very odd, and it's a good point. It's
you
something
know,
I'm going to have
in
to
general,
think about.
In general, what you have is a very, you know, and that's the thing. Everybody forgets what the defining complaint was at that time. I'm wrapping this back around to this current generation in a minute. The complaint when we were younger was that we were apathetic, wasn't it?
Right, that you were just lazy. You were the me generation.
Yeah, but see, it is about the me. Mm. We're being destroyed. We've been basically engineered to be the suicidal generation. The veterans that you see returning from foreign wars, a lot of them, and these different entanglements, which aren't even half as destructive as what we might have thought of in the past as some of the horror stories and whatever else, my generation is all out of that for some reason.
I don't know why or how that happened, but I have to agree with you.
But we were trained to disengage.
Well, you disengaged, that's for sure. And then we have this, you know what I mean? People have to pay attention and people have to learn real history. You know, I posted today, everybody needs to read Howard Zinn's book on real history. Everybody needs to read Bury My Heart at Wounded Knee to understand why America is the way it is today. Why it's paying, what it's paying for. Listen, karma's a bitch. You know, whatever you do, it's going to come back to haunt you. But I will say this. In the past few years, I've seen more instant karma, as John Lennon made such a beautiful song about instant karma, than ever before. Chuck, we need to take a break. Stay with us. Chuck and I will be right back.
Hi, this is Monica Sepulveda of Wake Up with Maria and Monica. You can hear our show every third Tuesday. And we give you tools, solutions, and the way to change your life forever. Each morning, you can either choose fear, worry, hate, anger, or you can just choose love, which balances everything and changes the trajectory of your life. Maria's show is so amazing. You need to tell another person. For the small amount of money that you pay for a subscription and the value that you receive in return with her guests who are unmatched, with her wisdom, with her reports of what's happening on this planet, how to change it, and with that sense of humor, oh my gosh. Her Reiki sessions blow my mind. Every time she has sent me some Reiki, it works. I heal. And I'm just blown away by this old soul, Maria. I'm glad to call her my friend. I hope that you book a session with her for a Reiki session or for a reading because you will not be disappointed. But most important, tell a friend about her show. Take care and make it a great day. It's a choice, you know. Bye.
Okay, welcome back to Hell and High Water. And I know it's a different show today because if you were expecting us to talk about, you know, what's going on in the news, we do that every day. Just go listen to my new show from yesterday if you still need an opportunity to throw up. Chuck, you talk about how they attack different generations and your particular generation.
Right. And what's fascinating is, again, there's really this brand new, you know, the just being born generation. But then there's that part that is after me, which is still connected, you know, the millennial thing across the board. And yes, indeed, some of the common tropes about millennials are true. They are. But what people are failing to recognize is that you're also correct. This is the generation that has the opportunity. The fact that they are disconnected, this is going to sound crazy, Maria, but the fact that they're disconnected and you have essentially an entire generation which is hobbled by their, quote, learning disabilities, end quote, okay? All of that going on. Because that's happening all at once, this also means that I feel as though, and this is my hopeful part of it, they are less likely to get taken in by the same methodologies that silenced mine. And quite frankly, I mean, you know, no offense to you personally, but as I said to you, bought off your generation.
Mm-hmm.
Your generation could be bought, mine could be silenced. If they are disconnected, and I think this is the unexpected consequence of engineering people to be useful and, you know, workable, but not a threat to the real power structure, to the true establishment, which has no problem for their, you know, shiny things in this world dragging down the entire species and the planet along with it. Doesn't matter. They won't be here.
Well, here's the thing, though. This generation doesn't buy into any of the systems.
But that's the thing.
That's number one, so they're hard to control. Number two, this generation is born with no veil between them and their spiritual self. They didn't fall to the earth with a veil over their eyes to just go figure your life out. These mm-hmm. are extremely powerful spiritual beings that volunteered to come down here for the last gasp to see if they can flip it around. And these children need to be supported. Whether you like their looks, whether you do or don't, doesn't matter. They need to be supported. You know, everybody saw, oh, George Soros this, George Soros that. Well, who would you rather have backing you? George Soros, or would you rather have Shelley Adelson? Would you rather have the Koch brothers? I mean, that's just the way the world works. The rich control and puppet everything. And the truth of the matter is, if the devil gave them the money to do what they're doing, I'm for it. Okay. Because the people have to realize you got to fight as viciously against the enemy as they are fighting against you. And that's, you know, the essence of guerrilla warfare. You know, when people say take the high road, well, where'd that high road get the Obamas in 8 years of being, you know, denigrated and tortured, made fun of, called apes, et cetera, et cetera? The high road, I learned when I was a kid in Brooklyn, the high road don't work. You know, that's a fantasy. That's a fantasy that bullies made up so that they don't have to ever defend themselves. But, you know, your people, we're in a race for our life here, you know, for the lives of our children, our grandchildren. You can't sit back and say, I'm not going to do anything, or think you're going to vote and that's going to change anything, because you and I have covered the joke of voting in this country. Your vote doesn't count. Your vote's not counted. It's counted in secrecy. So what's the difference? Who's hacking who? Okay, the whole thing is a sham. It's been a sham forever.
Right.
So, you know, I've been saying for decades now, you vote, you have two votes that count, your money and your fork. Outside of that, you have no vote.
Right. And look, higher ground or the high road and all this other concept, you know what it is good for? It is good for something, Maria. I wouldn't say it's nothing. It is good when you have a singular small target.
Right.
See, it's great to be a sniper from the high road if you have a small target. The problem is that we are faced with an army. And trying to contain an army from the high road, well...
Yeah, good luck.
Good luck. Exactly. Especially when you're outnumbered terribly. You know, yeah, there are ways to do this, sure. But the fact is that if you can visualize the idea that if there were one individual, if there was just a small group of individuals that were the problem,
right,
the high road might work.
But let me ask you something, Chuck. When you were a kid in school, were you ever bullied?
You know, briefly that did happen to me.
Only briefly? Lucky you. Okay.
Yeah, well, because that was one of the things that I did. I was determined to correct very, very quickly. Right. You know, I got bullied initially, and it's going to sound silly, but for wearing glasses mostly and for being, you know, the poor kid who had two shirts to his name, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they picked on me for those things.
Right. Well, think about being bullied because you were the smartest kid in the class. You wouldn't let anybody else cheat off your papers. Or being bullied because you were a Jehovah's Witness and you didn't salute the flag. And now, in retrospect, I'm glad I didn't.
That was the other thing, too, is that I was intellectually ahead of others, and it made no sense to anybody.
Right.
Because I didn't do what they were supposed to do to get that. Mm-hmm. And even though, again, I had the handicap of not being able to see as well as my peers and all that, it didn't help the situation any.
Right.
But here's the thing. When it comes to bullying, and this is a lost message, you know, in the PC culture and that we can't do this and be best, everybody. Mm-hmm. Okay. The lost message is that, quite frankly, unless you check a bully quick,
right,
you're going to continue to fight that battle.
Absolutely.
You're going to continue to endure, and you're going to continue to have to absorb it, given the circumstances.
Absolutely.
And when it's on a large scale, it's even worse, because, again, unless a lot of people stand up collectively, you will not see the pushback on a bully who's actually got, you know, what they call power in this world, which... It's funny to me because a lot of times the things that people call powerful don't seem quite as powerful to me in retrospect as they seem to others.
Right.
Who are looking for a savior, who are looking for a leader.
No, you're
the
savior.
You need to lead yourself.
Right, you're the savior. You're the leader. I posted that on my spiritual page on Facebook, Worldwide Readings with Maria, and I posted that. We're the ones we've been waiting for. And I didn't come here to lose. So, you know, go back to being bullied. I was a girl and I was bullied. I was bullied to the point of my life threatened almost every other day in school, which I didn't tell my parents about. You know, I had to sneak out a back door not to get beat up by a gang of real bullies. And then one day, listen, I had to just take a stand for myself and beat the living crap out of one of these bullies, which I did. And now here you look at, it's not just Trump, who I think is one of the biggest cowardly bullies in the world, because he can dish it out, but he can't take it. But if you look at the world and all the leaders around the world, they're all bullies. You can call them dictators, authoritarian, whatever you want to call them. But the bottom line is they're loser bullies that don't believe in themselves and want to mess over other people. What amazes me is every country has millions of people living in it, and nobody just storms the Bastille. You know what I mean? Just storm the Bastille. You know, they're all, will Trump get out? Will he go peacefully? How about you just storm the, instead of planning to storm Area 51, how about doing the same to the White House? Who the hell are these people? They're not gods. They're not invincible. No one is. you know, give it right back to them, see how they like it. But unfortunately, the human race lacks real leaders. And the few leaders that we did have in the 60s were all murdered right in our face on public TV to quash any other voices that may want it to have come out.
Right. The opposition, the leadership was absolutely decapitated. And make no mistake, it's one of the things that often people go, well, that was the, you know, leftist opposition. No, it really wasn't the leftist opposition. You examine some of the positions taken by the people that apparently were so dangerous they needed to be murdered and neutralized in various ways at that time period. Because, you know, a lot of people went to prison too, Maria. A lot of people just got themselves removed from the equation one way or another, depersoned, if you will.
Exactly. Disappeared. You know, disappeared. But I mean, you know, how dangerous were these people? John Lennon was singing songs about peace. They had a huge FBI file on him. You know, Martin Luther King, where was he dangerous? Okay, he was just dangerous to the establishment, to those same white slave landowners that invaded this country, that made a constitution just for themselves, all the way down to the same rich white male slave owners, because now we're all the slaves that still run this country. So, you know, people have to, if you don't learn from history or even know history, you don't even know when you're repeating history.
That's the truth of it, isn't it? See, and that's the fascinating thing, again, about this generational divide. You know, there is a time where we were not taught history, but we were taught that we were supposed to observe and learn from it. So that means any time that somebody makes an assertion about history, no matter how full of lies it is.
Right.
This means it's like the programming takes over. Hey, here's the BS history we have for you. Follow that blueprint. Mm. And it's incomplete at best.
Oh, well, it's all lies. You know, history's written by the victors. But, you know, everybody wants to know some real history. Get a hold of Donald Jeffrey's latest book, Crimes and Cover-ups in American Politics, starting in 1776. And truthfully, I told Don when he was on the show last, and he'll be back on the show, I think, the end of this month, that he kind of picked up where Dave McGowan left off.
Right.
And, you know, listen, it cost Dave his life, too. You know, I sometimes think about all the people that have come and gone on my show, whether they were co-host or whether they were guests. And a lot of them met what we'll call untimely deaths. So there are still real patriots, real decent souls out there, but they get knocked off. You know, like, you know, for me, for whatever reason, I'm still alive. But, you know, how often do I get banned? People are taking more bets on when's the next time Maria's getting banned on Facebook than they are on how long the betting that's going on for Trump's impeachment, which I understand is up to 62% now. So, I mean, you know, it's dangerous times to be a truth teller, but it's always been dangerous times to be a truth teller.
That's absolutely true. I may actually be responsible for starting that conversation as to whether we should bet on when you're going to get banned next. I'm not sure. But it's remarkable. And here's the thing, you know, let us also remember that the online world is not the world around you. It is the thing that is meant to keep you busy.
It's an octopus. It's the octopus of negativity and fear that encircles this whole planet. And when people look at, when you look at the craziness on Facebook, the fact that I'm sure Zuckerberg is a Zionist, the fact that Trump is spending millions of dollars on fake Facebook ads, and Zuckerberg said he's not going to fact check anything that the Trump campaign puts out, and yet I get banned, you know, constantly. People have to realize it's all propaganda. It's all mind control. So you have to play the system. You have to play the odds. You have to use their tools the same way against them. Yes. That's the only way to deal with a bully. You don't go running away. You're going to have to stay and fight sooner or later.
Right. And it's not because you have the desire to fight. It's because you must respond in a way and communicate with the language that they understand. Now, in the simple schoolyard bully equation, quite frankly, the easiest, the fastest, the most effective way to communicate is with some violence. This is not something I would seek to do. It's not something I ever sought to do.
Right.
But quite frankly, it is the language that they understood.
Look, my parents taught me, and I'm sure you come from an Italian background, probably the same thing. One thing my mother and father both impressed, don't forget, they only had daughters. They didn't have sons. I didn't have a big brother to go kick somebody's ass for me. But they said, never throw the first punch, but always defend yourself.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, a lot of, what are parents teaching their children today? You know, that's probably a question we could do a 10-hour show on.
Because sadly, it's a lot of considerations. You know, you can't get into a fight because you might get sued and the police will come and the authorities will come and remind you that you're supposed to behave like good slaves. So, you know, don't do it. Don't do it as opposed to defend yourself. You know?
So, I mean, even when you try to do something good in this world, you know, I'm thinking about that poor young man that testified in that white blonde cop's murder of her neighbor who she thought was in her apartment. I don't know how you make a mistake if you live on a different floor that, oops, I thought this was my apartment. Let me fill you full of lead. But the kid that testified, who was also supposed to testify again in an action against the police department, was shot point blank in the mouth. Okay, dead. So here's a kid who was doing the right thing, and he came across what I still believe it was the gang in blue, because after all, the cops are the ones now investigating it. You know, it's kind of like Bill Barr investigating himself and finding himself innocent. But here's a kid who did something good. You know, he was an athlete. He was a scholar. And, you ain't going to be testifying to anybody. So, you know, it's a very dangerous place to take a stand for your truth. But like I say all the time, they can't kill all of us. You know, what revolution was ever fought without lives lost? You know, and then Jefferson himself say that in order to keep our republic, we'll need a bloody revolution every 25 years. But, you know, most Americans don't know anything about history. They don't even know who the current vice president is, let alone to go back and talk about, you know, Harding or anyone else.
And, you know, it's funny that you say that, because recently I've been saying that I seem to recall from the days when they actually taught us about the words that were supposed to apply to us, you know, that concept of civics and your participation and how special America really was because it was a great idea. You know, was it ever great? Another question. But it was a great idea on a lot of levels. And one of the great ideas, and I'm not saying on every level, not a perfect place, but even the concept, the American dream concept, if you will, even there, if you take a look at the Declaration of Independence, you know, when the government's not working for us, we're supposed to, the way I read it, get rid of it.
All right, start anew.
Create another one.
All right, but who's going to do that? Who's going to do that? The average American who doesn't even know that the Declaration of Independence exists unless they see it in a Nicolas Cage movie? You know what I mean? So, you know, the education is key. That's why people say, well, why do you do your show? I said, because the first step to change is education. You can't get a group of people together if they don't even know what it is that they're fighting against. But, you know, if you're going to have people who, unfortunately, a sad statistic in America, when they poll people about how many books they've read since they left school, most people say none. And that's where it begins, okay? And I don't care what kind of book. It could be a novel. It could be a love story. Nobody's reading anymore. So now we've gone from, you know, caveman drawings to emoticons. So language is being lost as well.
Another weird thing there, too, is you ever notice how they talk about millions of books being sold, and yet nobody's reading them?
Right. Where are they going?
It's fascinating.
Right. Where are they going? Well, yeah, I'm always reading, okay? So I make sure to get my eyes checked regularly.
Listen, as nearly blind as I am, right? You ask me about how many books I've read since high school. I got to tell you, honestly, I don't know. I know there was a few hundred on the Kennedy assassination alone. But, you know, I can't even count. I don't know. I didn't keep tally on that. But I got to tell you that I have probably read more books than people have ever, you know, had days on their job at work.
You know what I'm saying? Well, you know, I used to keep a book list here on site. I still do, but I haven't updated it for years. Of all the books I read and people I've interviewed on the show, it's still on my site. I just keep it there. But since I stopped that list, God knows how long, maybe 10 years ago, I can't count how many, okay? Every interview, I've read that entire book. I don't just go off a cheat sheet. I need to honor myself and my guests by actually knowing their work.
Right.
And listen, I've always been that kind of person. I always want to learn. You know, even when I was a kid, I liked going to school. I hated summer vacation. So I spent my summer vacation in the library reading books all day long.
Well, I can't say I've completed all the books that I've read partially, because sometimes you start reading things and you realize what the rest of the book already is, and it's kind of a waste of your time.
Right. Oh, yeah. But, I get some submissions like that, believe me. I just read the intro and I'm like, yeah, this is going in the garbage.
So, yeah, that happens sometimes too.
So don't send me unsolicited books. If I don't ask you for your book, don't bother sending it to me, because it's just going to end up in the circular file. I've gotten some pretty strange stuff in the mail, Chuck. Believe me, all the years of doing this show. The best was a video of male erotica, male homoerotica. And I was like, obviously this person hasn't checked out my show.
Right.
But I did pass it along to it. I did pass it along to a girlfriend, though. I said, here, enjoy this. You might enjoy this film.
Well, see, that's the thing. Even if you pass along reading material sometimes to others, which I do with most of my books, I give them to somebody else. So there are a lot of books out there that are signed to me and everything.
Right, me too.
And quite honestly, are in somebody else's hands. Right. Because I feel as though some people just need to read anything, regardless of what it is, to get their minds active. But also when I find something that has, you know, gems of knowledge in it, I like to share that. I like to pass it along. And even if it's just to one person, I'm more than happy to do so.
Well, that's a good thing. And that's what everybody should do. Be a little lending library. Chuck, we're out of time. I want to thank you for this unusual show we did today. But I'm very glad that we avoided politics today, because I don't think I could take it after yesterday's show. So,
I'm with you.
To me, what we talked about today is more important, because, you know, listen, you can live without your body. You can't live without your soul. And that's what this whole trip is about.
That's it.
So, Chuck, take care. We'll talk soon. Call me if you need me. And I love you.
Love you too.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Chuck Ocelli. Check his work out at ocelli.com. I hope you enjoyed the show. Maybe some of it resonated with you. Maybe some of it didn't. I'll be back, of course, Thursday with the news. And as I said on the show, I just looked at my calendar. Donald Jeffries will be back. We're going to do an entire show on the 30th on the Lindbergh kidnapping, because what he had in his book blew me away. So again, thanks for your support of the show. Let your thinking friends know they're not alone. Encourage them to come on over. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.